Now to the story of a pig that is inspiring others. One pot-bellied pig, Chris P. Bacon, was born without the use of his I can't. Yeah, you have to read this story. We cannot. Oh my God.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
The Irish in me would say, sorry, you can't come to the house, but if you want to come to the house, I'll pay for the hotel and you can stay at my house. Let's get a tub with a hole in it, some plastic I just used to wrap the dead hog in, and we'll put the water out in the sun for a couple hours. But none of that newfangled fancy clean water. Let's use the old bath water from last week. It's got my fresh shit stains in it because I can't wipe my butt properly. I got a big surprise for you. I done put a piece of plastic around a tub out here in the middle of the junkyard. We're gonna heat it up by putting some fire under it. Throw your newborn in there. Let's see what happens. People can drive by and wave to you. I feel like they smell a little funky, but once they're in your mouth, you don't even remember that you have balls in your mouth. And your pee balls are great, man. I'll tell you what. Those pee balls are wonderful. As a matter of fact, I had to brush my teeth to get the taste of your balls out of my mouth. Do you have any floss? I think I got some of your balls stuck in my teeth.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
I gotta get some cocaine!
Oh yeah, cats and kittens. Welcome back to the commercial break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of this, The Commercial Break. It's not for everybody, but fact, news, or fiction is guaranteed in 15 minutes or less. All your money back. Go to the TCBpodcast.com website to collect your earnings. Sounds like I may need to go to the website and collect my earnings for my own money back. A little slow on the jump there.
You had just asked me if I was good.
Yeah, you're good. I go, are you good? Yeah, I'm good. Am I good? Not really. But, you know, I was like a little mentally shaken here because I'm reading about this FTX story, which is weeks and weeks old now by the time this episode airs, that the FTX, it was a huge cryptocurrency exchange, and then they also had a fund, I think, that was called Alameda or something like that, or Amoeba, or I don't even know what the fuck it's called. I don't know, because I do understand cryptocurrency, and I was actually an early adopter of Bitcoin and some others, right? All of them. And I made a little bit of money. I didn't make a ton of money, but I made a little bit of money because I got really nervous that what I was seeing didn't look like it could, like, sustain. It just understanding economics the way that I do, like, you know, so good at economy. Understanding like the forces of the economic drivers, it is like if you look here in our studio, if you could see in our studio, I have a bunch of Pearl Jam posters that are framed because my shithead ass felt like those things would improve in value over time. However, I just spent a lot of money on posters that are sitting on a wall in the studio. Yeah, I spent more money on framing than the posters are now worth. But at one point, the market got really hot for these Pearl Jam posters, and I thought, oh, that's great. I got some value hanging right here on the wall.
Yeah, but I mean, what did you think? You were going to like go sell it somewhere?
I thought, no, I like them. I didn't want to, but it's like the Dick Tracy collection. It's right. Like, you know, I bought it because at the time I enjoyed it, and then years later, I felt like it was going to be worth something, but it's never worth anything.
No.
Because it's really driven by market sentiment. And the idea of scarcity in altcoin, you know, that you got to get in on it now and that everyone else is getting in on it. But here's the truth about Bitcoin and the reason why it's not yet going to be adopted widely. If you go in to buy a cup of coffee with your Bitcoin, let's say that Bitcoin is $3.50. One Bitcoin is $3.50. And a cup of coffee is $3.50. And you go today and you buy your cup of coffee for $3.50 and you use one Bitcoin. But you come back tomorrow and the Bitcoin is only worth $1.25. So now you're using two Bitcoin to go buy your cup of coffee.
Right.
Then it runs up and now it's $1,000 of Bitcoin. Well, you just spent essentially $1,000 on a cup of coffee. So the truth is there's not a lot of market stability. And,
right.
And so that's why, you know, so then it gets very complicated. They have these things that are pegged to the U.S. currency and it's called stable coin, but not even those aren't even stable. Like it's a whole.
Well, I was listening. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
And I was listening to I think it was on NPR, interview with someone that worked at a Bitcoin company.
Yeah.
And I guess the person asked them, well, how do you get paid? And she said, dollars.
Yeah, dollars. That's right. Because she's
like,
not.
So you even work at this
yeah,
place.
She's not even dumb enough to get paid by Bitcoin. I mean, the reality is it's just, it's like anything, any early technology. Everyone gets all excited about it, thinks it's the next kingdom come, and then you got to settle down a little bit because it's not really.
It's
the initial hype, and there's always fraudsters involved in the initial
hype
because someone sees money and they run to it. It's like the commercial break. They're like, oh, those guys. Let me sell them a Roadcaster for $7,000. But you get it. There's like this initial hype. There is some utility in these altcoins for sure, and they're not going anywhere. I guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. But does it look like it looked before? Probably not. And one of the reasons why now that it probably won't for a long time look like it ever looked before is because FTX, with billions and billions and billions of other people's money, has now completely failed.
Yeah.
And how they're going to get the money back, no one quite knows, because the value of the altcoin has fallen and the money is gone. So it's like, even if people could recover money, it would be a fraction of what they put in. And it's really sad for like the mom and pop investors, right? But even hedge funds like Blackstone, the largest capital hedge fund in the world, like capital managers in the world, they lost billions of dollars too. And so it's just kind of a crazy thing. But I'm watching this guy who had all this FTX, and I've seen him a couple times. You know, they moved down to the Bahamas in this new office. They spent millions and hundreds of millions of dollars on Super Bowl ads and all this other stuff.
They bought like the naming rights to a stadium down in Florida, Miami. Or
yeah, that's now called the Sorry Stadium.
Right.
Sorry.
They had like 10 different properties in the Bahamas.
Yeah, but this guy, FDT or whatever they're called, ADA, Adam something or other, whoever he is.
Freedman?
I don't know what his name is.
We're terrible.
I think he probably has autism or something like that. It seems like, anyway, just on the surface. I don't know that for sure, but he's an odd bird. He just put out a statement. He like actually made a video. He is facing so many charges and so many lawsuits and so many indictments that his head is going to spin. He just put out like a video where he apologized to everybody and said he had a quote unquote bad month. I had a bad month. I lost $16 billion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, and he said he has $100,000 left in his account and a credit card.
Which is more than we've got.
Yeah, hey, listen, there you go.
Shit.
Hey, you want a new business opportunity at ADP or whatever your name is? Come on over to the commercial break. Get in on the ground floor. And I do mean ground floor. We're actually negative.
You get on the basement.
Yeah, it's like my pool in the backyard. It's like 13 and a half feet below ground. This is a real serious opportunity.
To get us out of debt.
To get us out of debt, that's right. You give us $100,000, I'll give you 98% of the commercial break stock. I think that's almost worth, you know, you'll still be 10xing it, but that's okay. Don't worry about it. It all works out. With your math,
we'll throw out just fine.
We'll
some jars of Brian ass.
Yeah. I got some divvity dabs you can have. I'll go to California and buy some weed for you. Where are you at? The Bahamas? I think it's already legal there. Don't worry about it. You're cool. Hey, do us a favor. Build us a studio in the Bahamas. Give us the other $100,000. Build us a studio in the Bahamas with that credit card you still got. Give us $100,000, and I promise within decades, you'll make your money back. We're making money. We just can't seem to get it into our bank account. It's just...
It wisps.
It's on paper.
It wisps through our fingers.
On paper. I know. It's like water. It just flows in and falls to the ground.
It disappears.
We're not sure what happened to it. But we're pretty sure we spent it. We don't know how. We don't know where. But we're pretty sure we're pretty sure there's no fraud here. It's just us spending our money irresponsibly. Yeah, this guy's in a world of hurt. And yeah, how his lawyer,
he's in trouble.
He's clearly went against every lawyer that he has his wishes. I mean, who knows if you can even afford a lawyer at this point. $100,000, that's going to get him through the first week of lawsuits.
Yeah.
But he clearly went against everybody's recommendation or advisement that you should not and do not speak publicly about this at all. Go into hiding and shut your fucking mouth until we understand what kind of shit show is really going
on.
Yeah,
but he decided to just do a whole live New York Times interview.
Yeah, I know. And then he went on Good Morning America, too.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I got an invitation yesterday to like join the live interview with this guy. I was like, I'll just wait for the recap.
Well, I saw the tweet that they put out, and it had like 35 likes and 3,000 comments. So you know you're not doing great. And I'm just like mind blown. And you know, it reminds me of like the NFT stuff too. The NFT is suffering the same fate,
the
because
bubble.
Everyone suddenly understands that your cartoon pixelated fucking hairy ball picture is not worth $655,000. It's actually worth nothing because it's not, there's no utility to it, right? And unless you're like have a Bored Ape where you're allowed to go to the Bored Ape parties or something like that. But
we're
even
not
in
getting
that case,
invited to this party.
I know. I saw like a video from Art Basel where they're doing like an NFT parties down there.
Yeah.
And someone was at one or two of the parties. It looked like a really sad affair. Uh-huh. Like it just didn't, it looked, you know, last year I remember seeing
the hype.
NFT parties and people were just like, you know, they were throwing $100 bills on the dance floor and dressed to the nines and showing up in their Corvettes and all this other stuff. This year it looked more like the self-checkout at a Walmart. Everyone was kind of like, wah, wah. Yeah. How much money you still got left? Nothing. And I feel bad because I can understand why. Because when all the NFT hype was happening, I was like, I got to get interested in this real quick.
Something's going on.
Yeah. And we talked about it. We talked about putting out
About a lot of things that we never do. And now this is one I'm glad didn't follow through with.
Thank God we're not motivated to follow through on anything. Thank God we're too lazy and irresponsible to do anything we say we're going to do. But the NFT stuff is like, that's in a miserable state also. Again, there is some real technology there and some real breakthroughs there that are going to change digital rights management forever, but it's not happened yet and it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to take a while for people to adopt that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Van Gogh during his lifetime, his paintings weren't worth that much.
No.
Now.
They're worth,
you know, millions.
$5, $6, $7. Yeah. It's like my Pearl Jam posters.
So you just have to wait a few hundred
years. Yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Well, I was looking through NFT collections on this like, you know, place where you can look through NFT collections. And there was like I can't remember if it was a podcast or a vodcast. They had like 30 views on their entire YouTube channel, which is fine. That's about what we have too.
Yeah.
They have 30 views on their YouTube channel, but they were selling a video, like a video that they had done that had not been released to the public for like 65 Ethereum, which is at its current market, like a $65,000. And I was thinking to myself, who in the world would buy a YouTube video from someone that has no YouTube views? Like what inherent value is there in any of that? If you were Celine Dion and you were singing me a new song you had written and no one else had it, then I could understand.
Yeah.
If I spend the $65,000, I can resell it and make a bunch of money if I can do it the right way, digital rights management. But when you have no inherent value and you try and turn it into inherent value just because you say it's an NFT, doesn't work like that. And I think a lot of people are figuring that out real quick. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Celine Dion, I was on a kick last night. I went through that. I get on that fucking YouTube, Chrissy, and they start showing me shit, and I just can't help myself.
I
get down that music music hole. I go down the music hole. I didn't say music hole. I said music hole. And you know who I was getting into last night?
Celine Dion?
No, I've been there. I did that a couple weeks ago. Okay. I cried. I already cried. Brass Against. Have you ever seen Brass Against?
No, I have not.
Brass Against originally started as a Rage Against the Machine cover band.
Okay.
Where they have a horn section. So it's a horn section, and then they have a lovely young lady who sings the songs, and she is a fucking powerhouse. Her voice is amazing. She's a badass. Beautiful woman. I mean, the whole nine yards. And they film these videos in a studio. And so they have one guitar, drums, a bass, and then it's all horns, right? and they're great. They're fantastic. And they've branched out and they've done Tool and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
And they're so good. They are so good at... A lot of times you try and cover someone like Rage Against the Machine, and you end up sounding like a cheese dick trying to cover Rage Against the Machine.
Well, you know about this.
I do, because I... I do, because the most famous moment I ever had as a musician was my killing in the name of... at the Shady Oaks Retirement Center. Live at the Shady Oaks Retirement Center. We'll break that out in season four. We'll go back to it.
33P. We got to go back to it.
Got to go back to it. But these guys did it right, and they sound so good. And I was listening to the Tool cover. So I get reading about, you know, Brass Against, and I've known about them for a while. And it reminded me of a story that happened a year ago. So we're right on top of the trends right now.
you heard it here first.
You heard it here 12th. You heard it here 12th. You heard it here last, folks.
You heard it here last.
You know, they say breaking news. We're super glue news. We're putting it back together. It's so old, we're putting it back together. We're mending news. That's what we are. So the singer, who I really admire, I'm Brass Against. That's pretty funny. Yeah. It's only 12 months old.
You heard it here last.
You heard it here last, folks.
I was thinking you should start saying that.
The Brass Against singer, they were playing a live show about a year ago. They were playing a live show. And she had to go pee, and she mentioned to the audience, I think, that she had to go pee.
Oh, this
There's
is the same.
There's a video of this. This, this is the same girl. You remember
okay,
that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you remember that? Of course you do, because it's 12 months old. Right. But I went back and watched the video. It's so disturbing. She's such a rock star, and she's so punk rock that she told the guy to get up on stage, and she pissed in his mouth. On stage, in front of thousands of people. She had to go, and she pissed in front of one of the audience members. She pissed in his mouth on stage. And it was so fucked up to watch this video. I thought to myself, wow. So that's what it's like. Yeah, I thought to myself, wow. This is my opportunity to get one of my 21 shots in. Let's go. This, you know, but they're so fucking good, Chrissy. Brass Against is so good. You got to go listen to them. And then after Brass Against came on, then I went to Celia. Then I went to Celine Dion.
You had to get some good, some positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can't get off that song, that Megan fucking whatever, Megan Trainor song.
Oh yeah.
I can wear my Gucci. I can wear my Louis Vuitton, but even with she's so like cool. I wish I was that cool. I wish I had rhymes like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's why I'm on the commercial break. Mediocre at best. You know what time it is. It's time for the commercial break inside of the commercial break. And I'll keep it short because you already know. 855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383 is how you get a hold of us directly. It's not a spam text message line. You can send us your comments, questions, concerns, or content ideas all through text message to 855-TCB-8383. If you're brave, leave a voicemail. We want to know about your favorite moment from season number 3. That's all of 2022. Any episode, any clip, any moment, text us. Please let us know. We've got a special surprise between season 3 and season 4, and we want you involved. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button. You can also send us a message there, listen to all the audio, or watch all the video. Better yet, go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak to watch full episodes in a whole new light. Watching the video version will give you extra tickles right in your pickles. One more tiny little favor, if you are ever in the market for our sponsors, products, or services, please use the specialized URL or codes, or go to the website that we mention on those advertisements so that the sponsors know we're doing a wonderful job. Let's listen to a word from those wonderful financial sponsors, and then we'll be back to this episode of the commercial break. All right, everybody, I gotta let you know about our wonderful sponsors, Lululemon. Last week, I stopped by the Lululemon store to get myself a pair of joggers. You think Lululemon is just for yoga pants? You are wrong, just like I was. Lululemon can accommodate almost any piece of your wardrobe, and they do it in style and in comfort. It's the most cozy, the most comfortable, the most flattering, active and casual wear you will ever purchase. And now, Lululemon is a sponsor of The Commercial Break, so go to Lululemon.com this holiday season. Their website has hundreds of different styles for men and for women. Jackets, slacks, hoodies, sweatshirts, socks, underwear, and yes, activewear. It's all available at Lululemon.com. Guys, don't be shy. I swear, these are the most comfortable pants I have ever worn. I'm saying it again. Never did I picture myself a Lululemon kind of guy, and now I'm sold for life. Chrissy got a jacket. She's in love with it. Astrid's ordered some apparel for after the baby comes, and now I am eyeing some slacks for Christmas. So go to Lululemon.com. Get comfortable. Get cozy. Get Lululemon this holiday season for anyone who needs a little comfort in their life. Lululemon.com. And we want to thank Lululemon for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Hey, Chrissy, I was trolling around the internet.
Oh, as
I like to do. And in the last episode, we had caught up with some people who were very cheap. They were interested in saving every dollar that they could. And so the mother, mainly driven by the mother. So the mother.
They don't drive, though.
They don't drive. Yeah, that's too expensive. So the mother of this family that we were listening to last episode, maybe you want to go listen to it to catch the first part of this, she was driving this whole saving money thing that the father had jumped on board with. The kids look like they're being held hostage.
Yeah, they're not on board.
They will not turn on lights. They dug a hole to put a refrigerator in the ground so they didn't have to turn on the electricity. They could just use the cool earth to cool their food, that they would leave that food in there for a week or two.
Yep.
The guy was home butchering hogs.
Newspaper for toilet paper.
Newspaper on the windows because
for insulation.
Of that insulation. So the house is basically, it's basically a version of hell is what it is.
Built out of newspaper.
Yeah, built out of newspaper. And when we left off, the mom was explaining how she gets her dental care.
Yeah, how she saves
and
money.
Saves money. So I thought that this is just too good to pass up. Let's take a listen, Chrissy.
Barrel rolled from there. The most extreme thing I ever did to save on medical costs or any kind of costs like that is I removed my own teeth. If I have a cavity.
Oh, no. I just couldn't do this.
Removed your own teeth.
Removing your own tooth. Not talking about like a baby tooth where you pull it out because it's nice and loose.
Right.
We're talking about a full-grown adult tooth sticking literally built into your jaw, and you're going to break that thing off and take it off. How do you?
It hurts just thinking about it.
I know. How do you pull your own tooth?
I don't know, and I don't want to.
Yeah, because
I really don't.
The only time I've had a tooth pulled as an adult, they knocked me the fuck out.
Yeah,
I was not awake. Yeah. Of course you have to be.
Yes.
It's literally they
You'll
take
pass out from the pain. Anyways.
They take a hammer and they crack your mouth. That's what they do. A literal hammer. My brother got his wisdom teeth taken out, and to save on some money, because he didn't have insurance all the time. This is so many years ago. And this I can understand, because he actually just didn't have the money. He didn't get put out. He got local anesthesia, but he said he didn't really feel a bunch because they had numbed him up pretty fucking good. But what was the worst part was that the doctor had to get up on the chair to pull his wisdom teeth, and he could hear the cracking and crunching as the guy was using the claws, like vice grip, to rip the tooth out.
Oh, God.
I just take a little chisel and a hammer, and I sit there and chip it and chip it and chip it until I can knock it out. Every once in a while, I've been known to take it and whack it really hard. You get knocked out for a minute, you come to, and you finish.
You get knocked out for a minute and come to? That's not a normal thing that a human being does. Go spend the... You can get your teeth... You can get a tooth taken out literally by, like, a drive-by dentist. People give you... They get, like, free dental care in a Walmart or something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost that much to actually get some Novocaine and have someone pull a tooth, like $300-$400. And if you're not using electricity, you should have that in your bank account.
Yeah.
So this is horrible.
Oh.
Thanks to all of her cost-saving measures, Melody and her family get by on just $1,000 a month. But her expenses are about to double with a visit from her daughter, son-in-law, and their three kids.
She's going to come to visit with us for 2 weeks. I am super excited to see my new grandchild. But that's five more people than I'm used to. That's five more people.
She's making food in the kitchen, and I don't know what she's making. But it's like, hey, I'm making a freshly chiseled tooth. I'm making freshly chiseled
rolling up balls or something.
Hand butchered chicken.
Yeah.
I use the butchered gizzard and eyeballs and all.
Using our electricity, five more people using our water, five more mouths to feed. I don't know where they're going to sleep. It's just a huge deal.
This is where you stay in a hotel if you're the kid.
Oh, my God.
The kid.
This is why Brian's universal policy of always staying in a hotel, no matter who you're going to visit, works out in your favor.
Yes.
Because on the occasion, unless someone's got like a mansion down in the Bahamas, this is the Irish way to do it. I realize there's a lot of people and a lot of cultures that would never think about going to a hotel if they had family in a town or friends in a town, because that's just not what you do. I understand it. I get it. I'm part Venezuelan, so I 1000% understand. But the Irish side of me says you always stay in a hotel. You want to know why? Because someone might be chipping their own teeth out and then trying to make you dinner. Never know what people are up to. Y'all are creepy.
We have a 72-foot trailer, and I would say half of it is closed off. We all share a bedroom. We only utilize this one. The rest of the house we've blocked off to save on heating and cooling. It's the four of us.
Good God.
You have a 72-foot trailer. How much heating or cooling could it do? Oh, man, this poor kid.
The poor kid.
Christy, he's a hostage. We need to send negotiators in there.
Sleeping here on this king size bed. Wintertime, it saves a lot on heating bills because we have the body heat, but we don't mind cuddling. We're just that kind of family, so we can crawl up in here and just go to sleep at night. I do have.
You shouldn't be cuddling with your 14-year-old son. Mm-mm. No, it's highly disturbing. Highly disturbing.
Yeah.
I have two other bedrooms, but I am not willing to use that part of my house. I'm not going to do that. We're going to have to figure out another place for her to sleep that's not going to cost us any money.
Why do I have the feeling that saving money is just an excuse to cuddle with her 14-year-old son?
Yeah.
Like she's a total helicopter mom and she can't get rid of the kid out of her bed.
Up this tent for me and my family.
Or her bath.
I know. They're like taking baths together. It's just so creepy. Yeah. It's all creepy. I'm with you. Live how you want to live. Like, I'm okay. Good for you. You save money. I can appreciate that. But five people sharing the same tub of water and the same half a teaspoon of soap is just so disturbing to me. And then to put on top of that everyone sleeps in the same bed together.
Well, and then the family's coming to visit and she's not even going to open up the other side for them.
No. Well, see, here's at least the second part of Brian Greene's when family comes in town. You just tell them you can't have them at your house because the house is cordoned off.
Exactly.
And then they have to stay at a hotel. Yep. I'll be happy to make a recommendation.
Sleep in. My daughter and her husband and kids can sleep in the house. We've done this before, so it's not a big deal. A family.
Well, that's nice of them. They're going to go sleep
in
a tent.
Camp.
Yeah, they're going to camp
and
while
the daughter
sleeps in a hot trailer with no electricity or food or water.
We slept in a tent for 3 months before our trailer got set up. It's kind of old news to us.
A lot of people would have, you know, found a rental house or something like that while they were waiting. People were acting like, oh my gosh, you lived in a tent for 3 months? These are the same people who go pay to stay at a resort. I mean, why don't you just give me a dollar bill and let me burn it for you?
Home sweet home for the next 2 weeks.
I don't know about you. Home sweet tent. I don't know about you, Chrissy, but I was just talking with somebody about this. One of the things that I truly enjoy in life, when I have the opportunity to, which is not much because I work at this podcast, doesn't make us much money, but when I can go somewhere where they kind of luxuriate you a little bit,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You go to the,
oh, yeah.
Like paying for a hotel room to me seems like a luxury, yes, but oftentimes it's a necessity because you're traveling wherever you are. But then I also kind of like it. I like being taken care of. I like when they come and make my bed in the morning for me because yeah. I make my bed 360 days a year. I like the other five to be taken care of, and I'm happy to pay a little bit of money for it. I could never, would never, ever put a tent out in my backyard to let someone stay at my house. I would stay at a hotel and let someone stay at my house before I would do that.
Yeah, you would pay for the other person to stay at the hotel.
Yeah, that's right. See, the Irish in me would say, sorry, you can't come to the house, but if you want to come to the house, I'll pay for the hotel and yep. you can stay at my house. This is just taking this way too far.
My daughter's lifestyle is very different from ours. Once she moved away, she moved off to a city,
hell
and she's
yeah, she
she's
like,
wasteful.
Woo! I can use lights.
Bye, Mom. I'd call, but you don't have a phone, so fuck off. And you know that this girl is just staying here for the show. You know that
oh, yeah.
for sure. She's actually staying in a hotel.
Yeah.
We use cold water. But my daughter has to have hot water, so we're going to have to figure a way to heat it, and I'm not going to let us turn on the hot water heater.
Here it is.
But it has a big hole in the bottom.
Probably line this with plastic.
Let's take it around front. I think just right out here.
Okay.
Popper.
John Pawpaw Popper's coming. We got to get some hot water. Let's get a tub with a hole in it, some plastic I just used to wrap the dead hog in, and we'll put the water out in the sun for a couple hours. But none of that newfangled fancy clean water. Let's use the old bath water from last week. It's got my fresh
hot
shit
water.
Stains in it because I can't wipe my butt properly.
It's going to be great. I really think what we need to do is boil some water on a campfire so I'm not using my electricity for my stove.
Okay, so they're boiling the water for their daughter's bath. Here's an idea. Wait until you're ready for the bath and boil the water then. Well,
the horn just honked.
Well, hear them city slickers with their hot water ideas.
Look who's coming.
Yep. Come here, baby,
yeah, buddy.
Hey.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. What would you like? Hot, dirty water, or cold, clean water? You let me know. I'm here to accommodate. Yeah, buddy. We're all going to Golden Corral tonight. Woohoo!
Hey, guys.
Oh, he's precious. Grandma gets to hold him.
Oh, she's got a brand new baby. Yeah. That baby is days old. I mean, yes, skin is still red.
Can I point out something else? And that is that their yard seems to be filled with junk.
Yeah.
So here's an idea. Sell that.
Sell the junk. Yeah. Well,
it is. Fix that stuff up.
Junk.
Sell it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's true. That seems to be like a
donate it.
Seems to be a popular thing in like the rural areas is that you fill your yard with a bunch of junk.
Junk.
Yeah, never ever got that. Like, I know that there could be some value in some of that stuff, but once you get the value out of it, shouldn't you then take it to the appropriate disposal place?
Yes.
That's just my
thought.
You should. Yeah, but I do understand that's the way that some people live. But listen, now they got a brand new baby here at the house. Put that thing on a hamster wheel. Start spinning it. Let it recharge the batteries for the lantern. That's what I say. Never too early to start saving money.
Grandma. Phineas, hi. Hey, how you
doing?
Me
and my mom are nothing alike. I'm like a city girl. She is.
I'd like to point out I'm not related. She looks like a hostage who got let go. Look at her eyes. She's like scared of the whole thing.
Well, she's like, I can't believe I'm back here. Yeah. I said I'd never come back.
She's also got three kids hanging all over. Now I know what my life's going to be like in a couple months here.
A country girl.
You want to see where we're staying?
They don't use lights in the house. They use lanterns, for goodness sakes.
Look over on your left. See the tent? That's where we're going to stay. That's my...
Oh my God, there's so much junk in that yard.
So much junk.
And then there's a look in the back there. There's a light on over this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. This is why I know this show is a little bit fake. It's because this lady claims she never uses electricity. She refuses to turn on lights, only lanterns. Yet outside, they have a big old huge light that sits over an empty barn.
Shack.
Yeah, a barn. That's my junk barn. Got to keep it warm.
Home, if you get my bedroom for 2 weeks.
We would never go that far to save a dollar.
I got a big surprise for you. I know how you love taking hot baths and stuff. We got you.
I got a big surprise for you. I done put a piece of plastic around a tub out here in the middle of the junkyard. We're going to heat it up by putting some fire under it. Throw your newborn in there. Let's see what happens. People can drive by and wave to you. You're taking a bath in the fucking front yard?
Yeah. Nice hot bath outside for y'all to take. We've been boiling water. See? We're trying to accommodate you where you'll be happy.
Yeah. Don't you like it?
Put his feet in there. He can take a nice bath. Dip him in there. Let him see.
They are dipping the child into the bath.
If you suggested to Astrid that
I
put a plastic piece of plastic in a broken old tin tub... and put our brand new child in there. You want to watch how fast someone can get a plane to Venezuela? Bye! Keep the checks coming. I'm taking the children. Me and your robotic sex doll nanny.
Right.
Don't leave. Yeah. I'll change my ways. I'll boil the water for you. It'll be clean as Dixie. Clean as a whistle. All right, honey. I guess we can turn the light on for a few seconds.
Jeez.
God, no, I got us into this with the commercial break. I'll get us out. Don't worry. I'm going to put us on a payment plan.
It'll be okay.
The daughter is just mortified. She looks so scared.
She's getting
scared.
Ready to put the child in there.
Yeah, they're getting ready to put the child in there against everybody's wishes. We look at the children that the... So what you're not seeing here is there's the original lady, the cheapskate lady. She's got two children of her own. Now her daughter, her older daughter, is coming to visit them, and she's got three children of her own. The mother, the grandmother of this child, is suggesting that they take a newborn almost and throw it into a tin can wrapped in plastic, full of water that they just heated on a campfire. Unbelievable.
See, he'll like it. They weren't always that extreme. They used to like just do little stuff, but all of a sudden it kind of got extreme. It's just kind of like almost a contest to see how much money they can save.
That'll keep it going the whole time for you. And there's a pot. You need more hot water?
You just dip it out.
Dip it up in there, boil it, and you can have hot water for the next 2 weeks.
She knew what
that water is black as night.
Well, I was looking at that, but I think it's the rust on the
tub. Making it even more healthy.
Well, you got the plastic.
Nothing
over
to
it.
Charge up a newborn's immune system like some old rust on a tin can. It's been sitting out in your shitty yard with dead hogs for months and months.
Yeah,
she was getting in for where she said she's coming for 2 weeks. Hey, Mom, what are we eating?
Squirrel dumplings. Boys tried a couple of squirrels earlier.
Oh, my God. That's what they were making. That's what she was making with squirrel dumplings.
No, 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 no. I dated this girl. Of course I did. One time. And she was a bit of a country girl. And she lived on the outskirts of Atlanta. But they, you know, her family had this very successful, I don't know what it was, HVAC business or something like that. So the first time that I went to her house, it took me like an hour to get up to her house.
Okay.
We had met down here and we had gone on a few dates down here. She mainly came to my apartment, but then she asked if I would come up. So I came up and they lived in a very small trailer-like thing, right? But it was attached to the ground, and on the inside, it was very nice. Like, they had done a great job.
Oh, yeah.
It looked, I mean, trailers are trailers. They're homes, right?
Yes.
And lots of people have them. And so, but it was a very nice trailer, and they had done a very good job. She lived with her brother. So we get around sitting and watching a movie, and I can smell something cooking up. And it's his brother and his girlfriend are cooking in the kitchen. And so we're watching this movie, and after a few minutes, he comes out with a platter of balls, like, you know, like ball looking things that have been I guess they were coated in like panko breadcrumbs or
That's
something
what
like that
she was like dough, some kind of dough.
Yeah, it was like a dough thing with panko breadcrumbs, and he's like, here, you know, have one of our, you know, whatever they are, or have one of our pea balls, or I forgot what he called them.
Yeah,
I didn't think much of it at all, right?
Right.
I'm not going to question what the guy's giving me.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the brother of the girl that I'm dating. I figure I'll just eat it because, I mean, unless it's laced with LSD, how bad could it be? And there's like some sauce on the side or whatever. So I take one and I dip it and I eat it, and it is fucking disgusting. I mean, it is gross. It tastes literally like I'm putting someone's foot in my mouth. It was so nasty, but I swallowed the one bite and then I just kind of held on to it, right? And then I went up to go to the bathroom and I threw it down the toilet and I flushed it.
Right. That's as any normal person would do.
As any normal person would do. So I come out, and now the girlfriend and the boyfriend are sitting there. Now there's another platter of some other kind of food, like strips, like chicken strips almost, right? And so he says, oh, help yourself to some of my, you know, I don't know what they call them, you know.
Pea sticks.
Pea sticks. Have a pea ball or have a pea stick. Whatever you want. Whatever. Help yourself. So I say, you know, at this point, I'm done taking chances.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm full.
I've lived on a lot less food than, I'm so full. And I'm going to be spending the night there, by the way. And I'm fucking famished, but I don't care. I'm like, I'm not going to eat it. I'll make an excuse. I'll leave. I'll go to Taco Bell. Everything will be fine. I mean, you know, Taco Bell. When Taco Bell is the great alternative.
Right.
So I say, I'm good. Thanks, you know. And he said, what'd you think about the pea balls? And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's not necessarily my favorite thing in the world, but, you know, good job cooking the pea balls, I guess. I was honest without being hurtful, I felt like.
Well, you're holding space
and
for
him. I'm holding space for your pea balls. Your balls are good. They're all right. I like them. The initial taste is a little gamey, but once you get over it, your balls are fine. I feel like they smell a little funky, but once they're in your mouth, you don't even remember that you have balls in your mouth. And your pea balls are great, man. I'll tell you what. Those pea balls are wonderful. As a matter of fact, I had to brush my teeth to get the taste of your balls out of my mouth. Do you have any floss? I think I got some of your balls stuck in my teeth. So he says, I said, yeah, I'm good, but, you know, what's in the pea balls there? You know, what's in the secret family recipe? And he goes, well, that's why we call it the pea ball, is because, you know, we don't like to tell people that are kind of city slicker types. And I was like, oh, I'm a city slicker type. He goes, because what we do is, you know, we actually will collect roadkill, and if it's fresh and it's not rotten, we'll put it in the freezer, and then we'll use it to mince it up, and we put them in these balls with some dough and panko breadcrumbs, and once you dip it in the special sauce, it's fine. And I'm like, So that's a roadkill? And he goes, it is. And I was like, what kind of roadkill? And he goes, well, sometimes we get armadillo, sometimes we get possum. Well, I mean, here in Georgia, he also said, you know, here in Georgia, you don't get a lot of armadillo, but you get possum. Sometimes you get armadillo, but he goes, mostly we get squirrels. And I was like, wait, there's squirrel meat in there? He goes, well, it's all different kinds. We mince it up. We put it together. And I'm like, oh, my Chrissy. I didn't spend the night at that girl's house.
No. I would just say, yeah, it's just time to leave.
And then I realized.
I feel sick.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Well, I got the runs, so we're probably not having sex tonight. Can I go shit myself at my own house? Do you mind? I don't want to stop up your toilet or anything, because you're probably getting food out of there. So
I already did that.
Yeah, you're probably cooking something in there. Chrissy, I was mortified. Oh, and I made the decision right then and right there that no matter how hard I tried and no matter how much I liked the girl, that the two families just wouldn't get along very well together, seeing as
the two shall never meet.
No, they shall never meet. And I actually, that was the reason, one of the main reasons. I wasn't sure anyway in the first place, but that just tipped it over. Yeah. I was like, I just can't be in a family where we're going to have... where I'm going to be expected to eat roadkill. Roadkill, pee balls. When pee balls is the main attraction, you know what they say? Pee balls before Rome falls. You know what they say?
Yeah.
Got plus frog legs, too. They got some frogs. Nice plump ones. Honey, they pay good money for them in them fancy French restaurants. Get it for free. You ought to be happy.
I can't. Yeah, only one difference between you and the French restaurant. They use electricity at the French restaurant. They have a refrigerator at the French restaurant.
Yes. I want to turn that big one. Look how pretty they look, girl.
It looked like they just chopped the frog.
Yeah, that's what they do. They chop them at the hip.
They just chop them at the hip.
Yeah, and when you go to the fancy restaurant, they'll cut them in two for you. Yeah, it's part of the service.
Are you going to be sick? Look at that. He likes squirrel dumplings. That's it.
A kid's like anything you put in their mouth initially, but trust me, once they get to three, all of a sudden the only thing they like is candy and Fruit Loops.
True.
Boy after grandma's own heart. Using your baby as a guinea pig. Guinea pig, we got to try that sometime.
Thanks. It sounds kind of good.
I highly doubt my parents will ever change their cheapskate ways now that they've adapted to it.
I don't think
the good news is
there's a limit at all to how far I'll go to save money.
I don't think there's a limit to how far you'll go to save money either. You want to know why? Because you are one cheap bastard, and your family probably hates you for it. But listen, if you know, you can't take it with you, Chrissy. That's the point. It's like, I understand you got to be responsible with money, and you know, if we had any sense of how to handle finances, we would save some money and budget. But this is taking it to the way extreme.
It really is.
I guess that's why they call it extreme cheapskates. But the reality is, you can't just run around with no electricity, no bath, and roadkill, pee balls for dinner. You can't just have pee balls for dinner, Chrissy.
No. Nope.
That's the point. Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know who had pee balls for dinner one night? That guy who sat under the brass against girl. She literally had pee balls one night. He had pee balls one night. He seemed to really enjoy it. He was like drinking it in, spitting it out of his mouth. Yeah, some people are into pee play. I'm not into pee play. It's not for me. Pee pee poo poo, no thanks. I don't want it in the bedroom. I barely want it anywhere. I don't even want it in the bathroom, let alone the bedroom. It's fucking disgusting. But if you're into pee pee or poo poo play, let us know. I'd like to hear from you. I do understand some people are into it.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. 855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383 from anywhere in the world. Toll free. We'll pick up the charges. Send us a text message. Send us a voicemail. Hey, and you know what? I want to let you know one more thing. It's not spam. We'll actually answer. We're not collecting your phone number so we can send a bunch of spam like Ashton Kutcher. You know, I was on a Clubhouse room one time with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, yeah.
And he gave away his phone number. And I was like, oh, sweet. And so I texted Ashton this message. And you know what came back? You've now been subscribed to Ashton Kutcher's phone line.
Oh,
and I was like, motherfucker. Now, every once in a while, I'll get an advertisement for his damn wine collection or whatever. And I'm like, fuck this. And every time I send stop, it doesn't reply to me. So I'm still stuck.
Dang.
Anyway, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully video edited episodes a few days after they air. And trust me, you're going to love them. Morgan does a great job. It's a whole different way of looking at TCB, literally.
Yes.
What else do I got? At the commercial break on Instagram. We actually started posting there again. Thanks to all the people. And thank you to everyone who has written in, called in, left us a review and a rating. We really appreciate it. You are helping grow the show. You're responsible. You're in charge. And we'd love it if you would continue to help us out. So go rate and review on your favorite podcast player. Or tell your friends. Sing it from the mountaintops. If you don't have a phone line or you don't use electricity, get yourself one of these nice little megaphones. Come to watch the commercial break. I'm literally out of thoughts this season.
Yeah.
Literally. Well, Chrissy, I guess that's all I can do.
I think so.
This commercial break podcast. I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we always say, we do say, we must say.
Bye. Bye.